I've been trying to see something God wasn't there, couldn't see. I was blind to reality, struck out of nowhere. No, I was unaware, only saw one side. I guess that was just my way, tricking my mind into thinking that was ever something. I won't keep twisting the ankles to fit something that will never untangle. No, I won't keep chasing the same dream. No, I won't keep running in circles for you.
I like your voice. It's very. I wish I had a lot more character in my voice. Yours has a lot of character, and very similar to my daughter, who's 17. She writes, plays guitar, keyboard, and stuff too. So,
oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
very neat.
It's that very. I don't know what to call it, modern style, but. Very distinct, and I like it. It's very good. And your songs are very well written. So, very cool. I record the voice lesson, and I forgot to mention it, but, you know, if you decide that you want to keep taking lessons, if you can bring a thumb drive, then I'll
sit
on it. That way, if we go over something, you're like, what is it
you
said,
right.
Or... How did we get that sound, you know? Because there'll be times where you'll be like, I may instruct you to open this way or do something, and it's hard to remember sometimes. And so this way you can take and go back and rewind and look over it.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah, it's really helpful. That's what the microphone's for. When I was doing my graduate studies, they did that. It was really helpful. You go back and listen to the lesson and hear different places and stuff like that. So, just a thumb drive, you know.
Okay.
And I'll drop the file in there before you leave, and you take it with you.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
That'd be the easiest way to do it. So.
Okay.
What I'd like to do now is just have you. I just want to get an idea of your range. So just kind of vocalize up the scale a little bit on whatever vowel sound, a or a or e, whatever is most comfortable for you. I just want to kind of hear your range and starting just.
Thank you.
I know you put on the form you weren't sure what you would classify yourself as. I would guess, just given the style that you're singing, you're going to sing mainly in this range, just because you don't hear a lot of pop singers appear a whole lot anymore. But if you were like in a choir at school, do you sing in a choir at school at all? Okay. If you were, I would say you'd probably be like a second soprano, or because you have a higher range. I think you went up to like an A flat there. Not a super high soprano, but a higher alto or a lower soprano. But that's just for your own information. But you have a really nice transition through an area where a lot of female singers have a difficult time, especially people who have had voice lessons, classical training. A lot of classical coaches will teach females to sing in that really light, heavy voice, mm-hmm. and they never let them have like that belt range or whatever. And there's more and more people, it's still hard to find, people that really think there's value in coaching people to sing in that range, and that would be me. I mean, they teach guys how to sing in that mixture range. The method I'm using basically says between a middle C and the octave above C, the C4 and the C5. For both, interestingly enough, both for male and females, it's the same range where kind of the ranges have to overlap. Like, and they're just different ways to mix that through those notes. And you transition through that really easily, which is great. That's a lot of singers have a female singers especially have a real difficult time navigating through that range. But you did a really nice job. Okay. Well, this is just an initial consultation, so I wanted to do a couple of things. First of all, I'm still in the process of getting some things on the website, but I have this just a studio policy information. Basically, it just says if something happens and you can't make a lesson, if you can let me know within 24 before. Outside of 24 hours, so that if I, I'm not sitting here waiting.
Right.
So it's pretty much, that's the bulk of it. Let me see if there's anything else. If for some reason you forget and miss a lesson, you might get charged for it anyway. Hopefully that won't happen.
Well, and that's because it's your time.
Right.
Understandable.
It just says be on time. If you get here late, we'll still end at the scheduled time. If you get here and I have another student and that runs over, mm-hmm. you'll get your full time, basically. And you can, my information's on there. It's my mobile number.
Okay.
It's a 606 area code because it's from Kentucky.
Okay.
but you can call, text, or email me
okay.
for cancellation. I have your information now, both of your information on my phone. So if I get a text, I'll know it's from canceling, I'm sick or we're out of town, whatever.
Right, okay.
So if you decide that you want to, there's certainly no pressure after today. You might go, oh, he's a nut job. I don't want to pick him in. There's no expectation you guys can leave and say, discuss it.
Uh-huh.
But if you do decide you want to, just shoot me a picture of that.
Oh, okay.
That's all
okay,
I need.
Okay, after we sign it.
Yeah. That
okay.
way you
and
keep
then
that.
That
from
her records and
right.
stuff.
You keep that. Just send me a picture of it with your phone.
Okay.
And then I'll put it in my file and that kind of
okay.
thing. So it's real simple.
Okay.
So that's kind of the deal there. Basically, what I wanted to give you or just hear from you, what are some of the things that you learned or had? I'm going to turn this fan back on because it gets warm in here quick. Some of the things that you studied, learned from, what are the things that they focused on, different people that you worked with?
Well, my last voice teacher did worked with me with head voice and stuff.
Okay.
And then my one before that did kind of the stuff, but then a mixture.
Okay.
Like
okay.
She made her do stuff. She didn't really. you know, like Italian pieces and some Broadway and different things, because she wanted her to be able to have a wide range of, you know, vocal thing. I mean, because of course she gets comfortable in that that area, and so she would make her push it to do a higher, you know.
Right.
Then this last one, we were with him a year. He was a little bit more laid back, and where Miss Vaughn was very, you know, they did warm ups. She was a bit, and but then she got a job and she was teaching full time.
Okay.
That's why we stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But we still keep up, you know, learning thing. And and she was the chorus teacher at school.
Okay.
And then she left there. This one now is little, like in second grade. And she left there and then she taught lessons at home for a while, and then she was teaching them out all of them in middle school.
Okay.
So then we found this other guy through church.
Mm-hmm.
He was in our choir. And he also worked for some. He played a lot by chords.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sort of worked on the piano some. And then some music. And then he moved to be closer to his family.
Okay. Sure.
So.
Yeah, I played. I've had piano lessons. I was a music major and all that. Primarily voice. I had piano proficiency and all that. But when I play by chords.
Yeah.
She's
taking some lessons at school that she does a lot, especially with the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
She'll
do
that.
And I play guitar. I've even led worship playing bass guitar before.
That's
just because we're in a very small church, and you know, we have a limited number of people. And so I call up my wife who's worship; she sings with me.
Oh, good.
I make my son play the cajon, which is like a box, you know.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter plays guitar and sings and stuff. So
that's
sometimes
great.
We are the worship team.
Yeah, well, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes rehearsal pretty easy.
Yeah.
Rehearse at home. But you know, the main thing is that I've learned is. You can sing any style, and with the proper voice technique, it doesn't negate that style. The goal is not to make you sound like, I've had voice training, you know. Like some voice teachers literally try to change your style, and that's not the point. The point is you can develop a good vocal technique no matter what style you sing, and you can keep that distinct sound. But what's also cool about this method that I'm still learning, I'm doing my voice lessons via Skype with a guy in Oregon who developed this.
Is that Laylock?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
He just came out with a brand new website. So if you want to look it up, it's nwivoice.com. Literally went online over the weekend. And he has a group of exercises that he wants you to do every day. I still struggle with that. I do. And I'm trying to get better at it. But basically, it's the best thing I've ever seen. It just, you do them in the order along with the CD, and it's amazing the things that it develops. And what it starts with is support, correct breathing and support. And I have a tendency to be a very lazy singer, especially, I know you probably face this in playing an instrument. I focus on the instrument and the chords, and I'm doing the rhythm and the strum pattern. And
I don't have in my now.
I have the same problems. So we can kind of learn and work towards some of these things together. Basically, these drills just teach you physiologically, retrain your physiology to do things correctly. And what's so cool about it, I think I was telling your mom on the phone, is there's sometimes it's so subjective to know whether you're doing something right or not. Somebody else has to hear it. These work. If you're doing it, correctly, with some reason. But should you decide to keep going, I would ask you to purchase this. I already have a copy
have
here
copies,
that you can purchase directly from
me,
but you'll make a checkout literally to him and I'll send it to him.
Okay.
Now, through this website, literally that just went live over the weekend, he is going to, in the future, be able to, you'll be able to pay directly and download directly from him. You don't have to buy a CD and have it shipped and all that. He's finally getting into the 21st century. So you'll be able to, I'll be able to tell my students, hey, go to this website, download this thing. I don't upcharge it. I paid $30 for my copy.
Uh-huh.
And I bought a male and a female version just so that I have both. But I have an extra female version here.
Okay.
That if you, and I won't do that today.
Okay.
Because,
I'll let you know.
I won't do that today just because, it's, you guys decide. But also, I don't want you to take the CD and start listening ahead and,
Right.
We'll take this incrementally. So.
Right.
But the first thing really is looking at support and just explaining some of his approach. He took a lot of his methods from another person. These aren't original with him, but when this guy passed away, he basically said, here, you have all of my study, my research, all of my stuff. And basically, to put it this way, there are two ways to make sound with your vocal cords. And one is, in order to make sound with your vocal cords, the space between your vocal folds has to close. And that's, have you ever seen vocal cords work?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do this. Basically, they just chop the air into pieces. And the way we do that you initiate that is, believe it or not, when you swallow is one way that they close to prevent food from or liquid or anything from going into the windpipe. So the way to close the glottis is just the space between your vocal folds, you can either swallow, which is the incorrect way for singing, or initiating support from your diaphragm. So when you initiate support from your diaphragm, it actually closes your vocal cords. It's a strange thing. It seems completely disconnected, but there's the phrenic nerve is something that comes that controls your diaphragm, and they actually took a corpse and stimulated the phrenic nerve and watched the vocal folds shut. So there's a connection there. If you think about it, have you ever had the hiccups?
Mm-hmm.
You have a sensation here and here. It's a similar thing. When you have the hiccups, it's letting your vocal folds shut because your diaphragm is twitching. It's really a twitch in your diaphragm.
Well, Miss Vaughn would do exercises with her.
Breathe and
vocal exercises. And then she had her breathe through a straw.
Yep, I've done that too.
Different things, and she did some stuff like that.
I had speech pathology because I had a vocal polyp. I had surgery for a vocal polyp about 2.5 years ago. A vocal polyp is basically a vocal accident. I had a really bad head cold, and I pushed through it, and I lost a lot of my range, so I had to have surgery to correct. And doing all of that, I did it at the University of Michigan, which has a professional voice center. And my speech pathologist was not only a speech pathologist, she was a singing coach as well. And she had me do the exercises to draw. And the purpose of that is to get as efficient as possible with your vocal folds, because they're muscles. And you're not a choral singer, and that's maybe a blessing. I sang in high school, chorus, and all that. And the goal was to hold these long phrases as long as you could until you're out of air, and then you breathe in. That's really bad singing, because when you're low on air, the muscles have to work hard. And so the goal of the correct breathing and support is really efficient singing so that you don't tire those muscles out.
Right.
So one of the exercises that I'd like you to just play with over the next week, this guy that did all this research also noticed that dogs can sit there and bark for hours and never seem to tire. Babies can cry, and their crying escalates, And so he's like, how does that happen? And a singer get tired.
Uh-huh.
It's because of breath support. And so he kind of started mimicking a dog bark. I'm not going to make you bark like a dog, but it's, the exercise is just yo, yo, oh, yo, oh, yo, oh. And using the diaphragm to attack the tone, and the Y-O sound, the yo, is just kind of gets the resonance there. So that's the first exercise that it teaches, is just engaging the diaphragm. And when you breathe, first of all, a lot of times you watch people that aren't singers, they're like, you know, I'm exaggerating, but their shoulders go up and all this. I had an interesting experience. If you've seen the new AquaVenture building,
yeah.
Some friends of mine own that.
The Pates.
The Pates. Yeah. The Pates. They know everybody.
Yeah, they do. You know, Ginger and Casey.
Oh, yeah, you know that because you
saw... used to go, did they go to your church?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to be at First Press.
Okay.
I've known Ginger forever.
Well, you saw my ad on her. Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right.
Yeah, smaller.
Well, we went to a demonstration there, a diving demonstration, on their opening day. And they had two professional divers, who one of them holds the world record for holding your breath. And he can hold it for 7.5 minutes or something ridiculous.
Oh, is he your friend's dad? He's a professional diver.
Yeah.
He does
the skin diver, yeah.
Oh.
Anna's dad.
Okay,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
All right,
yeah.
So you know this.
She used to swim. She used to do
gators. Well, what they did, we saw this demonstration, they're like, we're going to get you to hold your breath as long as you can. And I was like, okay. I held it for a minute and a half. I was shocked. But they had us do one thing, they had us, you know, do a couple of deep breaths, just kind of cleansing. And then when they had us breathe first from the diaphragm, which I was like, hey, singing kind of breathing. But then they had us also expand the rib cage. Now, singers don't need to do all that, but our breathing needs to be from our tummies. We expand, and I'm sure you've already heard this, but you expand here, and then it's the abdominal muscles as they push air out that causes the correct singing. So that's basically the idea. This is probably nothing new for anything that you've done. I just know that when I'm playing an instrument,
I forget about
those things, right? So it's repetition of these drills, and I noticed it even this last summer. Again, I'm just kind of reprogramming my brain for how this works. I noticed over the last year or two, I would feel so vocally tired after leading worship. Just one service, usually two or three on a weekend sometimes. And I think it's just because I've gotten lazy. And as I noticed this last Sunday, I'd really focus on taking correct breaths and engaging the support, literally you can feel it kind of kick in, that I'm much less tired at the end of time. So the two exercises that if you want to work on, and we'll come back next week if you want, or if you can decide if
next
this is the
week, I was gonna, if we decide to continue the lesson, can you trying to do around her brother's soccer schedule.
Sure.
Could we start doing Wednesdays at
4?
Would that work?
Unfortunately, Wednesdays don't work for me. My kids run cross country.
Yeah.
And they have their meets on Wednesdays. I'd like to try to get to those.
Or even, let's see, I'm trying to think. Well, I hate to be flip-flopping each day. We could do next. See, next week I have to go to Fayetteville for a soccer game. So possibly next Thursday. I mean, can we sometimes do Thursday?
Yeah.
Sometimes do.
I'm real flexible right now.
Okay. And then once we get through, well, you guys have basketball. We have a break in there. It's not as crazy
sure.
as soccer.
Yeah. And then, by first part of November, my Wednesdays will free up.
Yeah, okay.
Because cross country will be over.
Wow.
And I'm flexible. We can jump around some. It doesn't have to be every Tuesday.
I hate to do that.
Yeah, it's easier if it can be the same time every day, every week. But
And my husband may be going to some of these too on Tuesday afternoon. So he could go and then I could stay here.
Okay.
Sometimes he's off on Tuesday afternoon. So
sure.
I hate to do that to you.
That works. I'm pretty flexible right now.
Okay.
I don't have a ton of students that I'm working with at this point. I'm just getting started.
Right.
So it'll be good. So.
Okay. So do the yo.
Yeah, the yo-ho, yo-ho. Now, what you don't want to do is separate it. The other thing that I need to explain, this is kind of bizarre, and it was weird for me too, but he does this thing where you hold your jaw.
Would you stand up and try it?
Actually, you do it sitting down.
Oh, okay.
Believe
well,
it or not. Which is a strange thing, too. I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he said, basically, it's the you want to engage your abdominal muscles, and evidently there's some very low abdominal muscles that actually kick in easier when you're sitting down for these purposes, which I hadn't heard of before. But you hold the jaw like this because it a lot of singers rely on the resonance of their mouth only, and there's actually three other resonators besides the mouth. They're all different levels of your pharynx, and they have different names. I don't bore you with those, but there's three different resonators in your the back of your throat, and this puts it in the correct resonation. Doesn't let you rely on your mouth so much. It also lets your jaw stay relatively relaxed or have the right kind of balance tension. Some tension is good and normal, just balanced. But so it's kind of, you don't just squeeze, but you do want it to be like that. It also helps open your mouth.
When you say yo, yo ho.
Yep. Yep. And you don't want to put an H on the second O.
Yo-ho.
So you don't want yo ho. You want it literally to be, yeah. You want it literally to be because your abs kicked in and,
uh-huh.
and made the accent.
Oh, okay. Like
so
pushing.
Yeah. Yo ho, yo ho. Yo ho. So, and you take a breath between each one. You do three in a row. Yo ho, yo ho, yo ho. And it's literally because you feel your abs almost like that hiccup feel.
Uh huh.
That's the exercise you want. So that's one exercise. I want to hear you do it real quick. It's hard to smile.
Yo ho. Yo ho.
Don't squeeze quite so much. Just more of a yo, yo ho, yo ho. Yo ho.
Yo ho. Yo ho.
No H sound. No. It's hard to do. I keep wanting to do it too.
Yo ho.
There
yo
you go.
Ho.
That's it. Yeah, I can see you kind of. Yeah, it's an odd feeling. I know. It's hard to get used to. Here's the other reason why you hold your jaw. You can't swallow when you hold your jaw. So what it does is it automatically takes. Because, like I said, you don't want your swallowing muscles involved because that brings attention. That you don't want in your throat, and so it separates out the influence of the swallowing muscles from your symbol. So it's just a physiological trick that he's come up with to make it work. So try to get used to doing that and feeling it from your diaphragm, and just do that, you know, two or three, four times in the morning, maybe later in the day too if you want. The other thing you can do is just. You can call them sirens or whatever, but you've already got the across the break. But basically, it's just you don't have to hold your jaw for this, but just soft, like the way they taught us was like pretend like you're holding a baby and you don't want to wake the baby. So it's not that. It's just.
My dog.
Yeah. Just real light, and it's a great warm up or a cool down. Like my kids run cross country, so before they run the 5K, they're doing some running and stuff like that. And then after they run, they also do that. So it's also a good thing if you've sung for an event or something to do it as kind of a cool down. So those are two exercises that you can begin doing to work your way through it. We'll get into if you want to continue. We'll go over some of the other exercises and what the purposes are. It's just all getting everything to work in a great vocal technique, and we'll cover more about that. But the cool thing, I like the fact that you've had a teacher work with you with some Italian and just different things. Because the cool thing is the most well-rounded singers. Have you heard Lady Gaga? I've heard her do some incredible stuff, like completely different genres of music. She's obviously had some training. And it's really cool to hear people that can do and sound completely different and authentic in that way. When she's singing one way, she doesn't sound, I mean, it's a complete shift. And that's a lot of talent to be able to actually sing.
She's really good.
Yeah. to sing classical and sound classical, and then get up and sing something else, pop, and sound completely modern and authentic in that way. And that's what this training is designed to do. And it does it by basically attaching sort of a color to a particular style. Like, you know, a lot of classical would be kind of a darker color, to all the way to, like, you know, bluegrass being very bright and twangy. So, and you have all of these different styles that are anywhere in between, and the goal of this method is to be able to help people sing in whatever style they want to sing, but do it consistently all the way through the range. And I find myself sometimes, as I'm leading worship, I go back and listen to it, and I can hear, oh, there's my classical voice training kicking in on that note. And it's being able to help get that consistency all the way through whatever style you're doing. So,
so what will y'all do, like, during a lesson? Would you, like, assign her pieces of music and then maybe things she's working on and y'all work on to improve it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is that what, how you do it?
She can bring some that she'd like to work on. I'll find some things that we can work on together, you know. I have some contacts, you know. I know one of the things you talked about wanting to have is just some performance coaching and stuff. We have a little group of musicians that gets together on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock, and we play a lot of different styles of music, and from Leonard Skinner to, you know, whatever, country, Reba, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And this friend of mine is real passionate about just learning different styles and stuff, and we actually are going to be playing at the Collard Festival with Aiden Friday or Saturday night this week.
Nice.
And there's a little cafe down there.
Uh-huh.
Called the Market
Cafe. In Aiden?
Yeah. And they have a little sound system and stuff in
there.
I mean, they're only open every other Friday for dinner, but they like to have, they're wanting to start having music. So, I mean, I could probably talk to them. You could probably go in there and get some experience. It's a small place, so it's not like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can invite friends and family to come and give you some experience from people that love you,
yeah.
And they're not sitting there judging you, you know, they're going to be supportive.
Right.
So,
I know she wants to work on that. She's very reserved, you know, but I could stand up in church and sing. So that has helped her so much,
sure.
You know,
yep.
And then she did that Down East Talent thing.
Well, church, they don't judge you because it's church.
No.
Judge and church. There's a verse that even says that.
Don't judge. And so I think she does want to do some more of that. And I know they have an open mic at the coffee shack.
Yeah, my daughter's done that before.
Okay. So, and that's sort of a, you just go and wait.
Well, that can be something that I can, as part of your growth.
Work on that.
Yeah, I mean, because it's hard for you to stand here in front of me and work on your presentation. I have some tips so we can work on that, that I've learned that helped me with some performance anxiety sometimes and stuff. But, you know, we can work on some of that. But part of that could be getting you opportunities outside to actually do that, where I could come and observe you and give you some, you know, constructive criticism on that kind of thing, you know, and some experience at the same time. So.
I write kind of like slower songs, so it's harder to...
Well, honestly, that's the style.
Yeah.
I mean, even in all the modern worship stuff that I'm trying to look through to find new songs for our church, everything, I swear, is about 72 to 80 beats a minute. There's nothing upbeat. It's all these ballads that build, or, you know, that they start real, you know,
mm-hmm.
slow and soft.
Well, and you could probably give her some contemporary music for church as well.
Oh, yeah. Like Lauren Daigle. She would be right up your alley. My daughter does a lot of her stuff. She's really good. The new, gosh, what's her name? I just lost it. She sings a song, "Thy Will Be Done," on the radio. She's part of another group. I just can't think of it. But those are different people that I can think of right now.
Maybe something contemporary.
Yeah.
And Chris, which I don't know if she wants to do it again this year because she's done it, but. They have a contemporary service Christmas Eve, and then a traditional at 11, but they always like her to sing at the contemporary, you know. So if there was some type of contemporary Christmas.
Sure, yeah, we can work towards that. Absolutely.
So she did a Michael W. Smith last Christmas.
Yes.
It was Welcome to This World.
Yeah, I know that one.
But, so, you know, something like that, too.
Yeah, so you can look for things, I'll look for things, and we can look at, you know, doing things on the piano or on guitar.
Tell she's like, it's real excited.
I understand. I tend to be an introvert myself.
She has a twin brother, and he and I are nature so much alike, and she's nature like that.
My oldest, who's a freshman at Liberty, in fact, I came across something. I'm not seriously not trying to, but this is, I got this, and I'm like, I don't need it. That's
thank
just
you.
A little bit of Liberty, but.
This is where my friend's daughter just graduated from.
My daughter, my oldest, is a freshman there right now. She's
nice.
Just started. Absolutely loves it.
Wow. Yeah, Corey.
She did.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, and if you want, I have some cards here.
Oh, okay.
If you know of anybody that might be interested,
okay.
I'd like to talk to them. And...
Great. So, yeah.
I noticed I got two forms.
Well, you have
the same
two forms.
They were
the same.
They're the same? I better check on that.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Okay, I'll check on that.
I just put, like, C form.
Okay.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure about that.